Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. In this final installment of our exploration of the transformative conversation, I share one last excerpt from the audiobook of The Inside Out Revolution about the dance between the spiritual and the material. At the physicist David Bohm's funeral, one of his favorite passages from his own work was read aloud. "The field of the finite is all that we can see, hear, touch, remember, and describe. This field is basically that which is manifest or tangible. The essential quality of the infinite, by contrast, is its subtlety, its intangibility. This quality is conveyed in the word spirit, whose root meaning is wind or breath. This suggests an invisible but pervasive energy to which the manifest world of the finite responds. This energy, or spirit, infuses all living things, and without it any organism must fall apart into its constituent elements. That which is truly alive in living systems is this energy of spirit, and this is never born and never dies." In other words, we live in a world of spirit, the infinite, made manifest in a world of form, the finite, which means that everything is made of spirit and nothing, literally no thing, is the essence of spirit. In the same way, the transformative conversation is, by nature, both psychological and spiritual. After all, if we're to look more deeply into what it is to be alive, aware, and creative, we must consider both the workings of the human mind and the larger context in which we as human beings function. The French Jesuit Teilhard de Chardin famously said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And if this is true, we ignore either of those facts at our peril. People who attempt to live purely in the material world and ignore the spiritual tend, in my experience, to ride the roller coaster of life's ups and downs and arrive at the end of the ride feeling accurately that they haven't actually gotten anywhere and wondering why those spiritual people seem so calm and peaceful. People who emphasize the spiritual world at the cost of the material tend, in my experience, to fluctuate between moments of pure bliss, awe, and wonder, and moments of frustration, wondering why, if they're so spiritual, God, life, the universe has forsaken them to a life of poverty and struggle, while those material people get to have all the nice stuff. To attempt to choose between the spiritual and the material is like trying to choose between two cars, one without an engine and one without a steering wheel. You won't be arriving anywhere worthwhile in either of them. This isn't to say we need to attempt to balance the two. Worship on the weekends and work in the week is more of a cultural norm than a life strategy. But when we begin to see how the two worlds are really one, it becomes possible to experience the best of both. The upside of a focus on the spiritual is a deeper sense of connection with ourselves, with others, and with life itself. The world of deeper feelings that we begin to inhabit. Feelings like gratitude, love, humility, wonder, and awe is its own reward. The upside of a focus on the material is a life of greater comfort, ease, and possibility. Money may not be able to buy happiness or love, but it's the best tool I know for feeding children, building new homes, buying plane tickets to a tropical island, and having a romantic dinner for two on the beach once you're there. The difficulty comes if we start to treat the formless world of spirit as if it's subject to the same rules as the world of form. Most of us are familiar with what happens when we're consumed with the pursuit of success in the material world. Stress and pressure become our constant companions, and more is somehow not only better, but also never enough. If we win the game, our ex-husbands, wives, and children get to read our epitaph in the morning headlines. "Here lies the fastest runner on the treadmill." If we approach the world of spirit in the same way, we set ourselves up for yet another lifetime of struggle. We strive for spiritual success, setting enlightenment or union with the divine as our goal, and determining that we'll out-meditate, out-pray, and outlast our fellow seekers until we get voted most likely to sit at the right hand of God in our high school yearbook. In both cases, our endless pursuit of not this is driven by our deepest fear that there's something wrong with us and we're not enough. That until we achieve sufficient levels of spiritual wealth, material success, or both, we won't be worthy of love.
and that without something tangible to show for it, we'll have wasted our life. Ironically, what we're seeking is all around us all the time. Right where you're sitting now is the infinite whole made manifest in the divine specific. You could no sooner be not enough than a tree could be the wrong color. And you don't have to become worthy of love, because love is what you're made of. When we see that truth, or indeed any truth about the human condition, it can set us free. There are millions of theories out there, and I've added a few dozen of my own to the list over the years. But as Sid Banks used to say, you only need to see one spiritual fact, and it will change your life forever.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's excerpts from the Inside Out Revolution and this exploration of the transformative conversation. You can learn more at michaelneal.org, and you can order your copy of the Inside Out Revolution at insideoutrevolution.com or by following the links next to the podcast. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon.